Hey, welcome to the Noble Wise Men podcast, where anything is possible all through Christ. I'm your host, Kevin Leon, and I'm just an ordinary guy whose life was transformed by someone truly extraordinary. I believe that no one is too far gone, and it's never too late to start changing our thoughts and our behaviors for the better. The Noble Wise Men podcast was created to help young men in the pursuit of truth, virtue, values, morals, mindsets, and perspectives. We release new episodes every single Monday. You can visit us on our website at www.noblewisemen.com. There you'll find links to all of our social media. That way you can subscribe and not miss out on any of our content. If you'd like to give us a suggestion for a future episode, you can also leave a comment there as well. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode, where I'll be going over godly thoughts, revelation, and relationships. Let's get right into it. So the very first thing that I have to do, I can't even begin this episode before giving you a formal public apology. I've kind of dropped the ball probably twice now, at least during the course of this podcast, in that I had it's part of the intro, right? We release episodes every single Monday, and twice now that has been the case. I've been delayed by a day, sometimes two in some cases. And it's really not a good thing. It's deviating from the schedule. It's letting you guys down. And there are people who come and tune in every single Monday, excited to listen to a new podcast episode. And then first thing in the morning, it's not there. So I want to formally apologize to you guys and ask you to please forgive me. I've had a new opportunity arise in my life where it just made all the sense to go ahead and take it. With that opportunity, obviously, that takes up a big part of my time now. And so I've been trying my best to figure out, because obviously, worst case scenario, this would become an every other week kind of thing. That is absolute worst case scenario. But as much as is within my power, God willing, that will not be the case. God willing, we will continue to release episodes every single Monday for you guys. So you can come, you can tune in, you can spend some time with me. We can get into God's word, discuss different things, and this is the best way I can put it is the only way that this podcast will fail is if I quit. And in Jesus' name, I have no plans and or intentions of quitting. So again, I've dropped the ball. I'm still figuring out how to properly structure my week and my schedule so that way this can all be smooth and easy and kind of done and finished long before Monday when it's due to be released. So I just had to get that off my chest. I had to apologize for it. I'm going to do my best to not ever let it happen again, but I thank you for bearing with me, and I thank you for continuing to seek these episodes and continuing to tune in every single week, and I really do sincerely appreciate it. But with that being said, we can dive right into the episode. So today's topic is going to be about godly thoughts, godly revelation, divine revelation in many cases, and godly relationships, how we can have relationships with others, not even just on a romantic level, but even as friendships with people who are our coworkers, with people who we might encounter as strangers on the street, how can we build a relationship with them in a way that glorifies Christ and in a way that points them to Jesus, right? Because that's the bottom line. That is the most important thing that we can do is to talk to others and tell them about our Lord and Savior, the one who laid it down all for us that we might be saved, that we might be reconciled to God through him. And so that is the goal. That is to live our life in a way that glorifies him, to live our life in a way that pleases him, to overcome our sin, to overcome our temptation, not by our own strength, not by our own might, not by our own power, but by the Spirit of God in which he placed within us. By his Holy Spirit, we have the power to overcome these things. It's just a matter of accessing that power, right? And how do you access it? How do you understand it? It's found in the Word. And that's exactly what we're going to get into. So the first thing we're going to be studying from today is Matthew chapter 16. And I'll start off by reading verses 13 to 17. This is a story of when Jesus discerned Peter's thoughts for him. So Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 17 say, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I'm actually glad that I ended up stopping here, because this wasn't even part of what I had for today. It wasn't even part of this episode. But this could literally be an episode in itself. But Jesus asked, but who do you say that I am? And that is such a deep and powerful question that we should ask ourselves. Who is Jesus to us? A lot of times when I talk to other people and I don't know, you know, what their beliefs are, who, where they come from, what, you know, again, what they believe in, if they even believe in God at all, I like to ask people, who is Jesus to you? What do you think about Jesus? What do you know about Jesus? And that sparks up a conversation where if they've never heard of him, I can start to talk to them about it. If they have heard of him, or if they know of him, but they don't truly know him, if they don't have a relationship with him, I can again start to share these different kinds of things from the word that shows them we have a personal God who loves us, who cares for us, who wants to have a relationship with us. And we have access to that because of Jesus. And you can just start to go into that with them, because a lot of people, they've heard of Jesus, they've heard the stories of Jesus, they've learned about him, or they've heard and learned from some of his teachings, but they don't know him, and they don't have that relationship with him. And again, our job as Christians, as followers of Christ, as believers in God's Holy Son, who is God himself, we have to reveal him to others. And it's not even necessarily that we reveal him. The Father reveals him, and we'll see in a moment, Jesus reveals the Father. But us as followers of Christ, we have to talk about, witness, and testify of who he is, what he's done for us, what he offers to everyone. He offers freedom. He offers salvation to every single person if they were to just believe, if they were to just grab on and accept that. And so that is part of our responsibilities. But I love this, because who do you say that I am? That's what Jesus is asking you today. Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus in your life? And if you don't know him, how can you begin to know him? How can you start to learn about him and begin to form a personal relationship with him? That's what he desires of you, and that's what we're going to get into today. So this first thing that Jesus asked, he told Peter, it's not flesh and blood that revealed this to you. When Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus' answer was, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but the Father in heaven did. In other words, Peter's thoughts were coming from the Father in heaven. That revelation that he just received, that thought that came to him, came from the Father. And I think I'll probably go in a little bit out of order in terms of what I had planned out for this. But what even is thought? What even is thinking, right? A lot of times when we talk about something, if we have a problem, we're trying to figure out how to solve it. A lot of times we'll say, oh, I just had a thought, or, you know, it just occurred to me, or, you know, I had an idea, right? What does that even mean, to have an idea? You didn't have that idea 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago. You didn't have that idea yesterday. And then all of a sudden, poof, you have an idea. Where does that kind of thing come from? Where does our thinking actually come from? And you can argue it comes from your brain, right? Many people who, for example, who are materialists, who don't necessarily believe in God, they just believe in evolution and creation and you know, things evolve to a higher order. They would say it's chemicals. They would say it's your brain activity, electricity, those things firing off in your cells, making you generate these kinds of thoughts. However, you have to kind of ask yourself, it's almost like a paradox. Is our mind our brains, or is our brains our mind? Are they two separate things, your mind and your brain, or are they one and the same? And to help you, to elaborate on that, to help you think about it, when we take a scan of someone's brain, just by scanning their brain and seeing how the chemistry works and seeing how different cells are firing off, different neurons are going crazy in there, right? We can scan someone's brain all day long. We're never going to know that person based on that scan. just by looking at someone's brain. Imagine someone donated their body to science and it's just sitting in a jar right here. Just by looking at someone's brain, I'll never know who that person was, what their characteristics were, what made them laugh, what made them love, what made them sad. You know, like, you're never going to know a person just by a scan of their brain or even by physically seeing it. Their mind, their personality, their spirit is separate from their body. Another way you can visualize this is if you've ever been to a funeral and it's an open casket, you can see that person there. You see their body, but yet their spirit, their soul has left their body. Even though their brain is still left behind in that corpse, you wouldn't say that you would be able to get to know that person. If a stranger walked into that room, just because they know there's a brain inside that skull doesn't mean they'll ever be able to know that person. There's something beyond the physical when it comes to a person, right? We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. Three different parts, three in one. People think about how mysterious and how confusing the idea of a trinity is, but they don't realize that us ourselves as human beings, we are made up of a trinity. Again, we're made in the image of God. We are made of a trinity as well. The same way how God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one person, or three persons in one being, I should say. Us as well, we are made of mind, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. So we are also three parts in one that makes us up. If you have a body without a soul or a spirit, it is not a person. It is just flesh and bone. It is matter, right? It is, the Bible says, from dust to dust, right? We came from dust, to dust we return, from ashes to ashes. And so it's more than just that. So when we talk about revelation and getting to know someone, it's not simply seeing them, but getting back on track. We're going to be talking about thoughts. Again, I kind of got ahead of myself. Started talking about relationships and revelations, but let's go ahead and get back to thoughts. When it comes to Peter, the thought that he had when he called Jesus, when he said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that thought came from the Father in heaven. That thought came from God. Again, when we have thoughts, a lot of times when they just come to us, if we're learning something new, and I can get even deeper into this, but again, in the spirit of trying to keep these episodes a little shorter, I'm not going to go into Genesis and how we're made in the image of God and we are made to think. In the spirit of keeping things short, we're not going to get into all that. But just like how we were saying before, oftentimes, thoughts don't necessarily just come from within. They don't necessarily just come from our minds. A lot of times they're external. The same way how we just say, oh, it came to me, or, you know, how'd you get that thought? How'd you get that idea? Well, I just thought of, you know, I had a dream, I had a hunch, I had an intuition, I just had, you know, whatever, it came to me kind of thing. A lot of times our thoughts come from external places and we process them and just take them for the truth. We take them for fact without thinking about where they even came from, right? We're not even thinking about our thoughts. I don't want to get too confusing. I hope that I'm not being confusing, but point being is, in this case, that thought that Peter had, that revelation, it was a divine revelation from the Father, right? From God, to reveal to him that Jesus, standing before him, is the Christ, the one again from the Old Testament prophesied about who is to come. It was revealed to Peter in this moment. And then after Jesus says this to Peter, he explains that he must suffer, that he must be killed, that he will be raised again on the third day, right? Three different times Jesus predicted his death. Exactly how it was going to happen. He predicted his resurrection on three different occasions. And it actually happened, right? That's, not to get sidetracked, one of the pieces of evidence for the validity of the gospel, for the validity of Jesus being God and being who he says he is. Because he predicted it, he died. 3 days later, hundreds of people on separate occasions in different places, at different times, from different walks of life, all say that they saw the risen Christ. And if you're a skeptic, if you don't believe in miracles, if you just don't trust history, you know, it's all big one big conspiracy theory, whatever you want to think, you can't get around the fact that historically hundreds of people with nothing to gain from it, because it's not like today where people have things to gain from stuff like this, people died believing what they saw. They died for what they believed to have seen. And so you can chalk it up whatever way you want. However, this is one of those evidences. This is one of the pieces of evidence for the validity of the gospel. And so after Peter said this to Jesus, he explained again one of his predictions of his death and his resurrection. And then Peter rebukes him. And we'll see that in Matthew chapter 16, verses 22 to 23. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." So again, not really to get sidetracked, but if this was an all made up hoax conspiracy theory, they probably wouldn't include details like this that make the apostles look bad, such as Jesus calling Peter Satan, right? If this was something made up, usually when people make up stories, they paint themselves favorably. They paint themselves in a good light and a good picture. So the fact that this is an embarrassing detail as far as Jesus calling Peter Satan is probably not the best piece of evidence for a hoax, right? If anything, it is the contrary. It shows that this is something that actually happened, actually took place, and was recorded as such, as historical. But that's not the point in us reading this verse. He says here, "You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men," right? Mindful of the things of God, or mindful of the things of men. And I'll touch on this a little bit more, but we have to realize the things that you see, the things that you take in through your eyes, whether it be movies, videos, whatever it is, you know, books, reading, the things that you take in through your eyes, they affect your thoughts, which then in turn affect your actions. What you spend time seeing will be the things you spend time thinking about, and what you spend time thinking about will lead you to do things in a certain way, for good or for bad. In the case of Peter, both of these thoughts sounded the same to him. There were two external thoughts. One said that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then the other said, no, what you're saying is incorrect, Jesus. What you're saying is not going to happen. And again, it's more concerned of the physical. It's more concerned of the carnal. It's not set on higher things. One thought came from the Father, and another thought came from Satan. One was a godly thought. One was an evil thought. Again, focused on two different things. Jesus was focused on the kingdom. He was focused on his Father's business. He was focused on doing the will of his Father. Time and time again, every single time, I believe it was also three occasions where he prayed to the Father. And I'm sorry if I misquoted. It's either two at the very least, but I believe it was three times. When Jesus prayed, "If I don't have to do this, if there's any other way to redeem mankind, but not my will be done, your will be done." So several times he prayed to the Father, "If I don't have to go through this, if I don't have to suffer, if I don't have to die, if I don't have to be crucified," he knew what he was going to go through. But he prayed, "Not my will be done, but your will be done." Jesus, from the time that he was a little boy, had his mind, had his thoughts set on godly things. He had his thoughts set on the will of the Father. And through that repetition, through that training and that practice, it became easier and easier. He consistently and always did the will of the Father. And it's important for us to note that Jesus is the Word of God. If that's new to you, then I'll read it for you just now. But Jesus is the Word of God. And being the Word of God, he reveals the Father. There's nothing, well, actually, no, I'll just read it for you. Let's go ahead. We're going to read two things. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Then we'll jump to 14, and then I'll jump to 18. But John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, 14 and 18. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is the bosom of the Father, has declared him." Other versions, like the ESV and the NIV, for that last verse in verse 18, other versions say, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." So everything, no one has ever seen God, everything that we know about God has been made known through Jesus, has been made known through the Son. He is the light that reveals all things. And so the only way to discern the source of a thought, whether it's a good thought or a bad thought, good or evil, holy or unholy, is through the word of God. The only filter that we use, the filter that we should use for everything, to discern truth, to discern right from wrong, good from evil, is the word of God. We should use the Bible. We should use the word of God, Jesus, his teachings, what he has taught us, and the way he lived his life, his example for us. We should use that as a filter, as the way to discern right from wrong, a good thought from a bad thought, holy from unholy. It is all through the word of God, which is the truth, right? Jesus says he is the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So him being the truth, if we want to understand and get to know the truth, that's a whole separate conversation as far as why that's important, right? Why truth even matters. Some people don't believe it does. I'm not one of those people. But the way that we get to truth is through Jesus. And so I also want to read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, which say, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." And this wasn't even part of the plan, but this is just, I'm just going to read a couple scriptures back to back. We also have here 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So this just goes to show you that through the word, through scripture, through Jesus, a man of God can be equipped for every good work. He is the word. He is the one who discerns our thoughts and our intentions, and he is the one to whom we must give an account. Through him and for him and by him, all things have been made. So when you're fighting against two different thoughts, when you're fighting against two different ideas, when you're being pulled to the left and being pulled to the right and trying to figure out which direction you should go in and trying to figure out what the will of God is, John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." If you are a sheep of the Lord, if he is your good shepherd, if he is the one who watches over you, who guides you, who cares for you, if you've given your life to him and submitted to him and his ways, you will hear his voice, you will know his voice if you read his word and get to know him. So talking for a second about revelation, right? Thoughts, revelation, and relationships. That's today's topic. When it comes to revelation, the only way you can actually get to know someone is if they reveal themselves to you through their word. If I'm standing on a street corner about to cross a street and there's a stranger next to me, we're both waiting for the crosswalk. If we don't say a word to each other, I will never know who he is. He will never know who I am. There will never be a relationship between us as friends, as strangers, as passersby, as neighbors, if we don't communicate and reveal ourselves with our words. That is the only way that you can get to know someone and that you can build a relationship with them, a friendship, a romantic relationship, you know, a co-worker kind of relationship, right? There's many different kinds, your family, your friends, loved ones, enemies, whatever it may be, whatever kind of relationship that you're in with another person, you've gotten to that place because someone has spoken. You've revealed yourself to them. They've revealed themselves to you. You get to know what they think like, what they like, you know, what they don't like. You get to know that person because you communicate and you speak with them. It's the only way you can build a relationship is through revelation of one to another. And God revealed himself to us through his son, Jesus. It is the only way that anyone knows anything about God. As we read in the scripture, no man, no person ever has ever seen God at any time. That's Old Testament, thousands of years ago. That's today, right now. No man has ever seen God. And I guess you can argue when Jesus came, obviously you saw him, but that's the point of the scripture, is that no man at any single time has ever seen God. The only begotten Son is who has declared him, who has made him known. He was there in the beginning with the Lord, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and that's the only reason he actually knows him. He has seen God, and being God himself, to reveal himself to us, to mankind, through his word. Again, Jesus being the word of God who became flesh, the things that he taught us, the things that he revealed to us, allows us to have a relationship with him. It allows us to have a relationship with the Father. And when he left, he sent an advocate. He left one behind. He sent one to us, the Holy Spirit. in whom lives in us today, that we can have this communion with the Lord. It's an amazing, beautiful thing. The more you get to know the Lord, the more you build a relationship with him, the more he grows you as a person, as a man, as someone who can be a good husband, as someone who can be a good father. He has a plan and a purpose for you. And it's a holy anointing for you and you alone. No matter what it might be, if it's at your job, God has called you to do the best at your job. If you are a husband, he has called you to be the best husband that you can be to your wife. If you have children, he has called you to be the best father that you can possibly be. He has a purpose and a plan for you. Sometimes it's just that simple. A lot of times we try to make things extravagant and out there and this huge crazy thing. Not everyone is going to be like one of the major prophets in the Bible who has this crazy experience and crazy purpose and out there kind of thing. Sometimes it's just the simple stuff. Just doing what God has called us to do, owning up to our responsibilities to the best of our abilities. And so Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice, that he knows them and they follow him. So if you're a follower of Christ, which voice will you listen to? Will you listen to the thoughts that come from the Father, that come from Jesus, that come from the Holy Spirit, that reveal things to you? Or are you going to listen to the thoughts that are going to lead you astray, that are going to cause you to sin? And how are you going to know the difference? You have to discern it through the Word of God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6 say, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Again, our thoughts affect our actions. What we spend time thinking about and meditating on is going to have a major bearing and a major effect on the things that we actually do. And as these verses say, bring every thought into captivity, bring every thought into obedience of Christ. We have to take our thoughts, the things, if we're thinking wicked thoughts, hateful thoughts, evil thoughts, we need to cast those out and bring them to the obedience of Christ and of his word. That's a decision that you have to make. It's a conscious decision that you have to be aware of and realize that you have the power to take control over. A lot of times, this is what a pastor preached before in the sense of, it's most often and most likely that we have the power to resist temptation rather than the power to not have any temptation at all. We are going to have temptations. We're going to be led and lust after evil things. It's in our nature as fallen, sinful humans. Because of the nature of the fall, this is just unfortunately the world and reality that we live in. But we have the power by the Holy Spirit to overcome these temptations. With every temptation comes a way out. The Father always provides a way out for any temptation that might come your way. And it is up to us to take those thoughts captive and bring them to obedience in Christ. And I'll leave you off with two things. John 15, 13 to 17 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." So guys, we are friends of God. We are friends of Jesus. He has made all things known to us. It's all found in the Word of God. It's all found in the Bible. And we have the power to overcome these temptations, to overcome these wicked thoughts, if we submit ourselves to the Lord, we do as he has commanded us to do. So I hope this episode has blessed you. And as always, what I have to say is nowhere nearly as important as what God has to say. So I'll leave you off with a word from him. And it's found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, which says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think about such things. Guys, be mindful of God's things, not mindful of man's things. Build meaningful relationships with others in a way that glorifies Jesus. May God bless you, and as always, stay holy.